Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Coffee Clatch. The Coffee Clatch and Special Needs Talk Radio Network feature outstanding programming for the special needs community. Our team of hosts provide educational interviews. Our shows are not designed to provide listeners with specific or personal medical, legal, or professional service or advice. Parents of children with health issues should always consult their health care provider for medical advice, medications, or treatment. Any show discussing rights and law for special needs children in special education are presented as general information and not legal advice. Special Needs Coffee Clatch Limited does not promote any host or guest individual practice, programs, treatments, or products. We thank you for joining us and are proud to provide excellence in broadcasting for the special needs community. And now, on to the interview.
Good evening and welcome to the Ask Stephanie Show on the Coffee Clatch Network. Mayor Johnson, the makers of Board Maker, have recently released an e-catalog featuring hundreds of great products, including several significantly reduced in price. Visit www.mayor-johnson.com to learn more. Tonight, I am interviewing psychotherapist and learning specialist Stephanie Weldon. She is a colleague and a friend of mine, and I'm so happy to have the chance to interview her because she has the unique combination of both the therapy and the learning piece that is extremely sought after by so many families. In addition, Stephanie herself grew up having ADHD, as did her dad, so she's very well informed both personally and professionally. I introduce to you Stephanie Weldon. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Steph.
I'm so happy to have you today. So our topic that we're talking about is, can children with ADHD be successful in school and socialization? So definitely something that parents want to know about, and I think the two go hand in hand, as I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah,
and I think to make it easier for people listening, I mean, even though they go hand in hand, well, I think I want to talk about both of them separately, though I know I'm sure we'll wind up intertwining them. I think that I want to start off with school because I think that when people think ADHD, I think parents worry about school and how their kids are going to be, maybe because they're not with them and they can't control the situation. They want to know how they can set their children up for success in school. So
that's a really good point. I mean, well, first of all, I'd just like to say I think it's, you know, parents should be concerned about sending their kids off to school if they have a diagnosis of ADHD, simply because, interestingly, there hasn't been enough teacher training done in the area of ADHD.
Yep.
So a lot of teachers really don't have a real understanding of ADHD, and that's been documented. There's been a lot of recent studies that have come out within the past 5 years. So I think, you know, parents should be concerned, and, you know, they want to protect their kid, obviously, but at the same time, you know, the kids need to be able to go to school and sort of learn to self-advocate as well. I guess to your point, what can parents do? There's a lot they can do. They can really just make sure at the beginning of the year that they have a good relationship with the teacher. Do you know what I mean? Because, I mean, and the problem is that I was saying this to you before. A lot of times, you know, kids will – Parents may not like the kid's teacher, right? We've all had that experience. But I highly suggest, and keep this in mind, it's really hard because kids are changing teachers every year. And when they get to middle school, like, they have a couple of different teachers. And that, if you can put it in your own, like, way of thinking as an adult, it's like getting a new boss every year, right?
Which is not easy.
Oh, no. I mean, I think that, like I said, that would give me a panic attack if I had to change bosses. You know, I work for myself, but just the idea of having to, you know, have a new boss every 8 months, 9 months.
And different expectations
I don't think
and personalities like from each teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, parents meet with me and they come to me because they want to know, like, what should they tell the principal? What kind of teacher is right for a child with ADHD? Is there a right teacher for a child with ADHD?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think the right teacher is going to be a teacher who has some understanding of ADHD and has had training and experience.
And patience.
And patience. And yes, I mean, the studies have shown that teachers who have patience are tolerant. Teachers who actually use more visual cues and hand gestures. Teachers who have had a lot of training in terms of behavior modification and really classroom management experience. They have done it. They're the ones that I would want. That's the type of teacher I would want working with my kid. I don't think it's also part of it's a personality too, right? So, but I will say I can guarantee you if your kid has ADHD, it's within your best interest to really, I hate this word in many ways, this word advocate, because what does that really mean? You know, it's sort of like, you know, advocate means you're going to the school and you're really building a rapport with the teacher. You want them to know that you're on their side.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to know information about
important.
Your kid, right? You want them to know information about your kid. I would
and you don't want
suggest...
them frustrated with them. You don't want
mm-hmm.
you. I always think parents and teachers just always need to be like on the same page.
And that's not always easy, too. You know, because you're dealing with a different personality each year. But I will say, this is the major point I want to make. Because I don't want to scare parents. I know that many teachers haven't had a lot of teacher training in the area of ADHD, but that doesn't mean that you can't help them understand your
yep.
child's ADHD. In fact, I would highly suggest that you really meet with a teacher at the beginning of the year. I know some parents are a little bit scared about, like, saying, oh, my kid has ADHD, but I have found in my own practice that when you really encourage parents to go and speak with the school, even if the teacher doesn't know that much about it, she's so much more open. He or she is so much more open and willing to talk with a parent at the beginning of the year if you give her kind of a heads up, right? So
yeah.
you can go to the school and say, hey, my kid needs to sit in the front and near you. My kid really, really, really responds well to visual cues and hand gestures. That really helps. Also, the tone and the language you use, clear directions. Those things are really important for my child. Knowing what's coming up, keeping a really good schedule, like my kid responds to that. I think so much of the time teachers have just been taught to ignore behavior, and that doesn't always work. You know, sometimes it just encourages the behavior to continue, and even at times it will escalate. So the idea is, you know, ADHD is not necessarily a behavioral disorder. It's really people are looking at it more through a neurocognitive framework, and they're seeing that it's about executive functioning issues and really regulating affect. So I would suggest, and what I mean by that is being able to manage emotions. But it's not something that I think it gets a bad rap, because ADHD goes along with a lot of other things. So,
well, it gets a bad rap, too. I mean, look, first of all, I think importantly for parents, full disclosure is going to be the only way, because it's not a behavioral problem. There's actually something that's going on. I think sometimes teachers, like you said, because they're not educated enough about this disorder,
exactly.
it's like they almost say, like, oh, is this parent using this as a lame excuse?
Oh, exactly.
Is everyone getting diagnosed with ADHD? I mean, I was just reading a study that just came out about how parents are getting their kids on ADHD drugs to help kids study even though they don't have ADHD.
Yes,
like they're
terrible.
Using them as the smart drugs, study drugs. So,
yeah.
unbelievable.
It is the most commonly diagnosed childhood disorder, which I think is really important to know.
Yeah.
And but what's interesting to me is it's the most commonly diagnosed childhood disorder, and yet nobody's getting trained in it. In my field, I mean, now it's changing, but you have to understand the brain has, you know, we know so much more about the brain now and about ADHD. So there are a lot of assumptions that teachers have. Like, a lot of teachers don't even believe in the validity of diagnosis.
Oh, exactly.
A lot of teachers don't even believe in medication. They don't even understand that much about medication.
Or they believe in medication and they encourage parents greatly to do
it.
So, and they're not doctors.
Okay,
so,
exactly. But you know the problem is, Stephanie, is that teachers are being asked to take on all of these roles, right? And it's not fair to them to not
because
know
Because they're
enough.
The ones that are with the children sometimes more
exactly.
hours during the day than a parent. So there's a lot of pressure on them also because
exactly.
they're they're having to check in with the parent to say this is what's going on, and are they accurately saying what's going on? It's a lot for teachers.
And you know, what's sad about it is that, you know, it's just the culture we live in. It's, you know, we definitely live in a narcissistic culture that is asking people to do way more than they can really take on. You know, now mm-hmm. teachers are being asked to be like doctors. But I think the point being is that even though they shouldn't be asked to be doing this, they are being asked to make observations. They are being asked to manage kids with ADHD and work with them and teach to them and help them be successful. And they really need more training. I think everybody gets this. But the point I want to make is just that parents need to know that they don't have a lot of training, and that the more they help the teacher understand their child's ADHD, and the more they help their child understand how they can be proactive in the classroom, and you can start at an early age, the more successful the outcome
right, and
will
give
be.
The pa- and I think importantly, the giving the teacher, if they say, you know what, I don't know a lot about this, or I wish I knew more,
yeah.
print out studies for them, give them a book
exactly.
on it, tell them, you know, I'm here for you,
exactly.
and we have to work together as a team. And I know you and I have spoken before on this topic, and I loved what you said to me the other day about checking your attitude at the door as a parent, because it's so...
Yeah, parents, you got to check your ego at the door, and it's really hard.
I loved it. It was so
true.
You're right. These parents come in, and they're, you know, we are like, this is our child, and we want the best for them, and you better not this, and you know what? It's just not... It's going at them in a difficult way is not going to get them to be on your side. And you need them. This is an entire year your child is spending in their classroom. It can be a very positive one if you come at the teacher in a positive way.
Oh, exactly. I think it's very hard for parents sometimes necessarily to do that. Like I said, we live in a culture that, you know, if you're the guy that works at Goldman Sachs, you might be the type that goes in and you kind of have an aggressive attitude and you treat people like they're your staff. And I'm not trying to, like, put down Goldman Sachs. I'm just saying, I don't care that you have an MBA from Harvard. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know a lot about ADHD. You don't know what it means to be a teacher. And
right.
if you kind of come in with that, you will do what I tell you, management kind of attitude that maybe works in the corporate world or doesn't
it's
even work
going
in the
to be,
world, whatever.
Maybe taken out on your child in the classroom.
They might do that. And, you know, it's so unconscious. I think a lot of times it's really what you really want to do is say to the teacher, I like you, we're psyched to work with you, this is my kid, I think this is what my kid needs,
yep,
we'll do check-ins. And also I just want to suggest too, I didn't mention this point, as much as you can with the kids with ADHD, make sure the kids know what's coming up, meaning you can ask the teacher, can we preview material? Do you know
mm-hmm.
what's coming up for the year? Anything you can do to kind of prep your child for knowing the way the classroom works, for knowing what's coming up in their day.
Right, or if you have
a
tutor, prepping your tutor so that you're actually utilizing them effectively. And having them know what's coming up a week and ahead so that if
yeah.
they wanted to speak with the teacher or something like that, that you knew their strengths and weaknesses, I think that's important communication for the teacher.
But even like let's say the kids are going to be reading, like, I don't know, like a Judy, like otherwise known as Sheila the Great, you know, in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea to get that book ahead of time and tell your kid that's coming up, and maybe even beginning the book, if the teacher will allow that, a couple weeks ahead of time. So the kid with ADHD is then cued into the teacher when she or he is actually teaching the book. They're raising
right.
their hand, they're responding, they're not going to be distracted because they already know the material and they're actually going to be more engaged because of it. Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Now, here's another question for you. Parents look at their children sometimes with rose-colored glasses. It's just some parents,
true,
they
though.
Look at their children and they're like, I mean, could they do no wrong?
My child will never do anything wrong. Yes, they will.
Right. And so they get a phone call from their teacher,
come in,
we want to talk. This is the behavior that's going on in the classroom, and the parent just doesn't want to hear it. They just can't believe it's my sweetie. So explain to parents how, you know, first of all, it's a difficult phone call for a teacher to make. And I explain to parents, when we're talking about how children can succeed in school, so this means parents need to be open-minded to what they may hear from the school. Explain to parents sometimes how teachers need to – they're seeing things maybe in the classroom that parents just aren't able to see at home.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's, you know, look, I mean, I am, as I was saying to you before, and we can talk about this later, but I said this to you the other day, like, I got kicked out of Brownies, okay?
Right.
Like, that's,
right.
I mean, who gets kicked out of Brownies, okay? And I'm hoping you can all tell just from even just hearing me a little bit on the radio, like, I'm a successful woman. I'm 40 years old. I've had a great career, and I have a very happy life. But it was very difficult for me.
So if you get kicked out of Brownies, you can have a future.
It's magic. Exactly. Even a better one than some of the girls that stayed. But I think, you know, imagine what it's like for my father when he gets the phone call, right? That Stephanie slugged someone at Brownies, right?
Yes.
It's not... I was kicked out of class a lot. I was in trouble a lot. I was not the kind of ADHD, it's usually with the gender thing, with a lot of times with girls,
mm-hmm.
that the girls are have the inattentive type more. I did not have that. I was very impulsive and hyperactive and like a Speedy Gonzales type of kid. So it was very hard to manage me. And I think it was very hard for my parents, and I see it in my own practice, that it's devastating when your kid is always the one that's being identified.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to kind of laugh at it, help your child develop some better skills. Also, really, you know, teaching kids how to calm themselves down, self-soothe, but also really asking teachers and the community. You know, when I was a kid, I would definitely could be impulsive, but I also had good judgment, right? Like, my parents did help me with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I had to learn it, and it's a skill, right? But it's the community. The kids sometimes when they're younger, they will provoke other kids, right? And especially the kid with ADHD, they're always the ones going to be identified. So, you know, I can remember, like, my cousin being like, hey, Stephanie, let's go jump off the roof. And I would be like, great idea.
Uh-huh.
And he'd be like, you first. What's frustrating is when the child with ADHD does something that's just like you're horrified by. I mean, and let's be honest, your parents, if you're listening, a lot of it is that you're just so embarrassed that your child would even do something.
Yes,
like,
right.
You know, jump off the roof or slug a girl.
Because
a
you
girl
never
scout.
Would.
But let me get back to the point that I was going to make about Brownies, Girl Scouts. It sounds awful, right? But if you were there and you had actually seen how cruel and mean these two girls were being to me.
Right.
You would be applauding me today. And I'm not trying to be funny here.
I love that you're having this moment to be able to.
So, listen to me. It is so true. I know that. I can say I won't say her name on the air. It's a small town in Illinois. But this girl is today. I'm sure she hasn't grown up at all. And we're all in her 40s now, right? This is just a mean kid, right? I was not a mean kid. And I think what's sad about that experience was that the other two girls didn't get in trouble at all. Nothing happened to them.
Because
so
you were the one that always was doing it. So the child with ADHD is, like, always in trouble, so of course it has to be that kid.
We have a hard time when you're that age. You know, it changes as you learn social cues, right? Your peers will teach you more than anything else. But what I'm trying to say is that it's not just about the ADHD kid changing. It's about the entire classroom and the community also making it more open and accessible to the child with ADHD. So my point being is that, like, for example, when I was teaching at the girls' private school I used to work at, there were two girls in my class. One of them, she really could not keep her hands to herself. And I really, like, from the beginning, I set up group agreements in my class, made sure everybody knew what the rules were, that they were explicit.
Mm-hmm.
I call them agreements because the kids worked with me to design them.
Right.
But, of course, I had a couple. And I really made it clear, like, this kid – I'll say her name is like Sally or whatever. Sally, she couldn't keep her hands to herself, and she was constantly getting in trouble. So every other kid would be like, Miss Stephanie, Sally hit me. Miss Stephanie, Sally's bothering me. Miss Stephanie, Sally. And, you know, it's very annoying when as a teacher when that happens.
Right.
And also it's annoying for your kid. If your kid doesn't have ADHD, absolutely. It's annoying that your kid is sitting next to somebody that can't focus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, I mean, what I did to kind of help that was I said to the kids, like, the first time it happened, you know what, I just gave her name away, but that's okay. She's Sally doesn't know what she's, Sally can't control herself with her hands, right, Sally? And she's, like, nodding her head, and she's like, but she means well, and really, guys, like, when she does this, this is what you say. You say, Sally, I know this is hard for you, but I need to focus on my work. I know it's hard. I know you can't control. I know you can't help it.
Validating
their
feelings.
I need to focus on
feelings.
My work, and I'm going to move. So what I said to the kids was, everybody has the right to move away if they need to. Sally's going to sit up close to me, but mm-hmm. you're going to get in trouble if you come up to my desk and you haven't done some of the things, some of the explicit instructions I've given you. If you haven't done some of those things and you come up and say, hey, Sally's annoying me, she's
right.
touching me, you're going to get in trouble too. And I can tell you honestly, I didn't have one behavior problem that year. And
right.
In all honesty, it was a pull-out class, and they put a lot of kids with ADHD in my group.
Right.
So,
and
you
had the background to be able to say, like, I get it. I know what it's like for Sally. And I want to make this just work for her.
And also, too, if you can think about it from Sally's perspective, imagine it's very difficult if the kids were annoying her first or even provoking her first. I know that idea probably didn't come in anybody's head. And then she lashes out or touches them, or let's say she even instigates it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to elevate the situation if you don't
right.
have a plan, right? It's only going to
yeah.
make her
so, and
more
teachers
upset.
Do. I think that having agreements and plans for children is just, for any child, is
yeah.
important. So I think that the organization when it comes to things like that is important. Now, I want to just get back on track for just even managing some other tips.
Sure.
Distractibility in the classroom. Okay, so you know, you were a teacher. Where are parents telling their teacher to sit their child who is easily distracted?
What do you mean
like, is it like they're seating wise, like, you know, away from the window or
oh, definitely.
Next to?
Like I can remember looking out the window a lot because sometimes teachers would put me there, right? You know, I think the kid needs to be up close
mm-hmm.
next to the teacher.
But now as kids get older, they're like,
yeah.
it's not cool to sit up
I
front.
Know.
They want to be back. What
I know
do
they
parents
need to get
do?
Over
what happens? Right, they just need to get over it.
Yeah, they need
Too
to get
bad.
Over it.
It's Let just, your friend come in the front with you.
You just know. You know what? I sort of feel like this is a problem we get into. Like when a parent comes into my office and they're like, you know, should I take, you know, Susie's cell phone away, right? Because I think it's really distracting her. I'm like, yes. You should
right.
you should set limits with the cell phone, right?
Right. So, I mean, they absolutely homework
so,
time to
I
give
don't,
me
I just,
the cell phone.
We've grown up in this culture, and it's unfortunate, but especially my generation, where we were just told options, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think many of these kids should have that many options, right? It's like, this is where you're going to sit, and I know it's tough, and I know you want to sit with your friends.
Right.
You know, but I think, you know, it's been working that you've been sitting in the front of the class, and we just don't want to put you in a situation where you're going to be, you know, not getting into trouble, but being distracted. You want to start off with a good year, and I know it's tough, and instead, you know, we'll make sure that we do this year. I mean, as they get older, of course, you need to give them incentive, give them rewards. I mean, you know, look, you know, you could also, if they're doing really well in school and they've been really participating with you, sure, you can say, okay, this year we'll try it. But I would be cautious about that because, you know, the kids, especially if they have ADHD, a lot of times it's not like there's a lot of programs that have been built into teaching kids about their own ADHD. They don't often know how to self-regulate. They can be... You know, it took me a long time to become an insight-oriented person. Do you know what I mean? When I was
yeah.
six,
right.
I
they
didn't
don't
think
know
much
what's
about
best
it. I didn't
for
understand.
Them. They're children.
Yes, they're children. And I think as you as a parent, yes, expect them to get upset about it. As they go into their tweens, right, as they go into middle school, expect mm-hmm. them not to be happy about it. You know, but
they're
you,
not
you,
going. They're
you,
not. You're not there to be their best friend. You're there to advocate for them and help them succeed.
As we say in therapy, like hold the frame, you know, just keep that the way it is. Don't be inconsistent. Don't say one week, okay, you can sit with your friends this week, and the following week, okay, well, we'll let you sit somewhere else. I mean, first of all, no teacher should do that.
They
I don't
need
think
rules,
any teacher
they need
would.
Consistency. They need
and,
guidance.
You know, and obviously, like, it's really important that the teacher expresses what he or she thinks. I think, you know, your child would be best sitting here, and
mm-hmm.
here's why. I think the thing to be cautious of is the teacher putting the child in the side of the room or in the back of the room or away from other kids because they don't want to deal?
Right. Right. And maybe sitting up close is like they're forced to deal.
Right.
And they're also, maybe they're going to form a nice relationship with the student because of that.
I would hope so. That's the goal, right? That's the goal. But, you know, that it has to be, the kid needs to don't give them too many options. Tell them this is how it's going to be in a very nice way. And by the way, parents, when you have these conversations, especially with the middle school kids, like, it's calm. Do it calmly and expect them to be upset. Right?
Okay, I like that.
And expect them to be upset, and don't you then get upset. Model
right.
calm. Don't be one of these parents that's like, you can tell me your feelings about it, and then when they do, you're like mad at them. You know, that's not
right. It's not effective.
Like, expect them to be upset. But
yeah,
you know,
I like that. I think parents
saying over and over
need
again,
to know that.
We think this is for your best interest. We're not doing this to punish you. We want to help you, and we
right.
know it feels that way.
And the saying, you know, you'll thank us later. Unfortunately, we'll think of our parents when we think of that, but it is true. They don't know what's best for them in the moment, and we do need to step up to the plate. So, okay, managing distractibility, seating. Now, I want to talk about homework because it is
yeah.
a big one, especially for kids with ADHD.
Huge.
Because whether they're on medicine, so let's just take a child who has ADHD who is on medicine. Their medicine is wearing off many times during
yeah.
the day. They took it early, and now it's getting to be homework time. And it's really hard for parents. It's like you haven't seen your kids all day. You were really looking forward to just seeing them, talking about their day, and just spending a little quality time with them. And now they're agitated. They're frustrated. They don't want to do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't bring home their assignment. They forgot to write down what they – is this ringing a bell for anyone?
Yes, definitely.
I wonder how I know all about this. What are parents to do about this? It's a big deal. And it's taking them three times as long. And you want to be like, if you just sat down for 30 minutes, it would have been done. What do we do?
Well, I think, two things. I mean, empathy is the best medicine. And I'll just keep saying it throughout the entire show.
Yeah.
And a plan will really help you have empathy for them. Okay. I am not a psychiatrist, right? I'm not a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, just to your point, medication has shown to be the most effective, okay? And I know a lot of parents are like, I don't like that. I can just tell you, it was the best thing that happened for me, and I got on it later in life, and I really wish I'd had it during the learning years. That's
mm-hmm.
one. If you've got a kid who is on medication and it's wearing off, like you said, I would highly suggest that you talk with their doctor, with their psychopharmacologist, with their neurologist about considering possibly a booster, right? So I think that's the first thing, is that you need to go see a medical professional, because ADHD is a medical diagnosis, guys, right? It's not...
It's not a behavioral thing.
It's a medical diagnosis. It's something that can be treated with medicine. And it is not something that, and I'm sure a lot of parents are upset about it. There are all alternatives. I can tell you more about it. But it's just that this has been the most effective, and I am not pushing the medication, but I am saying, if you are one of those parents whose kid is really suffering, and I mean, they cannot get their homework done, you are fighting, pulling your hair out, you're a helicopter mom or helicopter dad, and you guys are staying up until like 2 in the morning doing their homework every night,
mm-hmm.
and then you come into my office and you're like, you know what, but they get it done. It's like, mm-hmm. is that really a way to live?
Right.
It's just sort of like, I just don't think that that's necessarily, that's telling
because
you something.
Because it's just
my kid can't do the homework and my kid won't do his homework, right? Sometimes
mm-hmm.
kids can't. And you need to take a look at that, because they can give kids stuff now during the day, some extra medications called a booster, and the kids can then successfully manage their homework better after school because the drug has not worn off. Okay, that's one. I would highly suggest parents really look into that so that they can make the most well-informed decision. I'm not pushing the meds. I am saying, though, I'm not a medical doctor, and don't get your medical advice from the homeopathic grocery store clerk, okay?
Right.
That's not the person you talk
no,
to.
No, and I think bridging the two together
right.
is having your medical doctor speak to your teacher.
Exactly.
Where they're getting a full picture of what's going on. And then you speaking to your doctor, so that you are painting a very real image of what's going on. And I encourage parents, write it down. Write some notes down at homework time of exactly what's going on, so that when you do have a doctor's appointment, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, psychopharmacologist, you're able to clearly explain what's going on, so that there's a clear picture, because we all want our children to just, we want it to be as easy as it can be for them.
I know.
There's a lot of pressure on them.
And
there's
a lot of
pressure on all kids.
And us too. And can I just say too, and I want to give you some tips, okay, that don't involve medicine. If your kid has true ADHD, right, even if your kid doesn't have ADHD, there are some good tips I'm going to give you, because homework is just, there's too much homework these days. It wasn't designed for this. I can't stand it personally. I think it's too
much. It's insane, yeah.
But anyway, it is what it is, right? So we have to help them. I would highly suggest that kids know when they're going to do their homework every night, and that you really maintain a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest
and you say
it right
night,
after school.
Exactly.
Right after school. I also want to say that the kids can't do their homework if their computer's not working, if they don't have pencils sharpened, if they don't know where things are, if they don't have a desk to work at, if they're
very
not working at the same place. I mean, sometimes it's a lot about the home environment and the parent support.
Quiet
and you don't
environment,
have to be a rich parent,
non-distracting.
Right? You need to help them find the same place they can go to. So you can there's a few things you can do to really help them be set up for success. The other thing I would like to suggest to parents is that they really mentally rehearse with their kids every morning and every night, like in the morning, what's coming up in the day. Because I can't even begin to tell you how many kids, and I work with a lot of kids with ADHD, come to my office like for the first time or second time, you know, or maybe the second, third time, they're like, I had no idea I was coming to see you today. So they don't
parents
know
are so
schedule.
Busy in their own lives, they don't, they forget to say it, or they don't think that they don't value the fact that a child may need that information.
And they may need it, by the way, because a lot of kids with ADHD are very anxious, especially if they're not on medication. I'm just going to say it. Like, I grew up with this disorder, and nobody ever thought I had ADHD, right? I mean, I was born in the 70s, and everybody said, Stephanie, it has acute anxiety. And I did have so much anxiety, but it was because of my ADHD. I don't know if that makes any sense to
parents. It makes a lot of sense.
So then when I actually got on the medication, the anxiety really went away. But my whole life, I was trying to juggle so many things and remember so many things. I think you have to remember, kids want to have equal rights and relationships with people, right? So it's very frustrating for them. At least with their peers, right? It's hard on an ADHD kid when they come home and their brother or sister can get their homework done right away, and they can't, right? And then the solution is, well, mom will sit with you for 8 hours. It's so embarrassing and humiliating, right? So the more that you can say to your kid, okay, we know that it's hard for you to get started. Every day when you come home, we're going to talk for 5 minutes about what your homework is. We're going to help you organize it, and then I'm going to leave you alone. We're not going to ever fight. We're going to open your bag up. And please, parents, do not start criticizing them or organizing them, or let the kids kind of guide how they want to do the night. Do you know what I mean? Like, they need to be more proactive. So sometimes efficiency actually isn't the best thing. Like, even if you're thinking, okay, we're going to color code their notebook, like, don't do that. Let them really work on figuring out what's going to be best, right? But they need that cue. They need you to say, what's coming up tonight? It's Wednesday. Usually we have reading and history tonight. Is that what's on the agenda?
Right.
And then they'll take out their agenda, take a look at it with them, help have them articulate what they have to do, and then let them do it and set a timer. Get a silent
I love
timer.
The timer. I use the timer. I use it with my little one who's in first grade, because sometimes it just, they need a definitive time to be able to. And I think with younger kids, that a reward chart to say, you get it done, we're doing it, and we get it done in 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And at the end of the week, if you do it all, you know, here, go into the prize bucket.
I think that's great.
It gives them something. It gives them something to work towards.
It really
does. And for older kids, let them know that, like, you want to go to your sport tonight, or you have dance tonight at 7. Let's just get it done. And it's not giving them a sense of pressure. It's giving them a sense of, this is the amount of time it should take you to get ready. And parents need to know, if it's supposed to take them an hour and it's taking them three, well, that's a red flag in itself.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I would also suggest to parents, too, this is just a really good tip, and I was saying to Steve before, a lot of times, and I just want to kill, it's very frustrating to me. I mean, if you're a coach that's listening to this, please do us all a favor, as much as you can give the parents and the kids knowledge of the games that are coming up and when they're going to be, and as much as the sports people can really set up, okay, Mondays and Wednesdays is soccer. Because what happens is that, you know, you try to make all of these plans, but then the kids are in sports at night, right? And the games change all the time.
Right.
So their schedule is never consistent. And it's very hard for them, right? Because it's like, it's hard if you're trying to get them on a schedule Monday through Friday, but, oh, this Wednesday we have soccer game from 5:30 to 8, and next week we don't, and the following week we have practice from 6:30 to 7:30. So it's, you can see where I'm going with this. That's why I think as soon as school is out, like, have a snack, do the work. And it's not always possible for parents to be home, right, with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are working. So I would really suggest that you just get them on the phone. This is the time I'm going to call you, and we're just going to go over what homework you have for tonight just to help cue you.
Yep.
I know you need that extra cue, and I want to help support you. And make it fun. Use humor. Don't make it about, you know, Sarah, you forgot, you know, Richard, you didn't do, like, that's going to just make it worse, right?
Negative. Yeah, it's going to make it negative.
And just keep in mind, folks, too, that if you haven't been doing this with your kid already, the kids are going to really, really, really stink at this. You know, it's not, they're not going to come home with their homework. They're going to forget their books. You are beginning
a process. I love you because it is so true. You parents need to have realistic expectations.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, we brought in the sibling aspect, which is a big one because it's the comparisons. And I just wrote an article about this actually last month, comparing our siblings. It's like you have your perfect, son that's doing, bringing home everything and everything's right and everything's neat and he writes everything down. And then your daughter is coming home and she's all over the place and she doesn't write anything down and she's not doing, you know, the way. And it's really tough. And you don't want siblings to resent each other by comparing one another. It's terrible for family units. So I think that that's really important for parents to just have realistic expectations to say what you just said. They're going to forget it. And there is going to be a time where they forget their homework or they just didn't write it down. And having good relationships within the community of some parents, or always have your child have a phone number so that they can text a friend and for an assignment that they may miss.
Right. A lot of teachers put things online, right? They can.
Well, here, and that's important, too. I wanted to get to that.
Sure.
Okay, so we are in the world of the computer. And I know that my son is a prime example. Everything is on the computer today. So the assignments are on the computer, and you check when your test is, whatever. So you go online, and you're on Edline, and you're checking everything out. Well, what about, you know, these kids are they're in the middle school, high school, and now they just want to go online, and they're just checking the ESPN scores, or they're checking their Facebook status,
right,
or they're checking. What are we to do about this? It's distracting.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's great if you have somebody that, like, I mean, it was interesting. I was at a conference where a professor who's been doing a study was talking about executive function and functioning and ADHD, and he said that they noticed in their research that, you know, it's great that the kids with ADHD could go online and see that the teachers were putting the homework in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that the kids were so distraught, like they couldn't even, it was too many clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the teachers don't always upload. So it's, again, the school
has to
make sure
they're
doing
it. My kids even have, like, my son has his books online. Well, good luck telling a kid online who he thinks the computer is the greatest thing in the whole world, go study for science or go study for math online. I mean, he is going to be clicking all around, and it's not going to be on my system.
There are parental controls that you can put on, right? There's not.
Or you can ask a teacher for a hardcovered book.
I agree. Or you can put it on the iPad. You can turn the Wi-Fi off. I mean, I really suggest that if you have them check their phones at a certain time, if you, like, you know, you take their phones from them and they know when that's going to happen, right?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So there's a specific time in which it's a transition into studying, and it's hard for kids to get started sometimes, right? But if they mentally know what they have to do, the timer is on. I also wanted to suggest, too, when the timer goes off, make sure you say to the kids, okay, that's your cue. We have about 5 more minutes left.
Right.
So don't, like, because they need that cue, because some of them are going to freak out, right? And mm-hmm. use good wisdom here. I mean, if they really need 10 more minutes, then you're going to maybe give them 10 more minutes. But if it's coming to the point that it's just hours and hours and hours, you just need to tell the teacher. And the kids just, I personally just don't think the kids should be stuck doing that. I think they should, you know, that they shouldn't finish their work. It's too much work.
Right.
I know that's not a very popular thing to say, but it's really, I just think the kids
need
their sleep, they need their food. They need to spend time with
maybe,
you, and
maybe
they shouldn't
they
be doing work until 12 o'clock at night, period.
No, or maybe they take a period in school where, you know, they can eat their lunch and go to, like, a study hour where they can get some of that done. I think that could be helpful, too.
You know, Stephanie, too, you know, you could use technology in terms of, like, the Facebook, the online stuff. I mean, you definitely have to make sure that, like, teachers will be very specific about what's going to be happening online, right, because they know what's happening. So they – you could do that with them. You could sit with them when they have to get online.
Mm-hmm.
You can monitor it. Just be consistent about it. And then you can also say, hey, you can go on Facebook, or you can watch television, or, you know, you can have this treat, whatever your family values are, after you finish this, right? So that they know that they can get it back.
Right.
But it's not – they need to know that it's not a punishment. It's just a – you could say, you know, we live in the world of technology and we need to learn how to use it wisely.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And so, okay, we could talk about school forever.
I know.
It all intertwines, but I do want to get to the socialization part, because I think parents think ADHD, school, 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 but I think that children are with ADHD have a very hard time with their peers. And I think it starts from the classroom, because I think sometimes they are being negatively viewed by a teacher because they're the only one and they're the kid always getting chastised and the teacher scolding them, and so there's this perception from their friends or their classmates that, like, they're the bad one. So I think that has something to do with it.
I
think kids who have ADHD are impulsive. And,
sure.
I, you know, what I wanted to ask
some of
you
them are. Yeah.
is, because you and I have talked about this, is, and you said it beautifully, is – what, when you come in, what is the typical ADHD child look like to you?
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to say
because
that
you had
I
a good
think,
description of it.
Yeah, I think
because,
you know,
it's not all bad. There are so many positives,
exactly.
And I want to bring that out because I think that has to do with part of the socialization.
I think it actually has to do with everything too, Steph, the educational piece too. And parents, really and truly, the more you focus on your kids' strengths and build off of that, and I mean really focus on their strengths, right? That will really help them be successful in school, because we know if you have ADHD, you know that you're going to mess up here or there and that you're going to fail at stuff. Let them fail at things they're not good at and teach them skills to get better at those developing areas, but really build upon their strengths. And kids that have ADHD, they tend to be really creative kids, intuitive kids. Ironically, I think they're getting this rap of being the kids that, like, that are behavioral problems. I find them to be the most sensitive and empathic people ever. Like, they're
mm-hmm.
so caring. I think a lot of teachers really enjoy working with kids with ADHD. If the kids know their strengths and the kids have good judgment, right? There's so many great things about a kid with ADHD. They can be very popular kids. They can be quite sensitive. They can be the chatty Cathy in the room. That can be annoying.
Or they're the out-of-the-box thinker.
They are.
That the teacher can say, you know, we're going to do an assignment that, you know, maybe you never would have thought of.
Exactly.
But because this child is in the class and they're so artistic
right.
or creative, we're trying skits in the class, or we're going to do some art project that we never did before, or a play or something, a song or
Make
something.
Make them a leader. We talked about this, right?
Yeah.
Let them be the leader they are. Like, there's a difference between being a leader and being a manager. And I'm sorry to say this, and this may not be very popular right now, but in this recession, this economy, really, you know, managers, right? I'm sorry, but what does it mean to be a manager? Well, it means you're probably going to lose your job, you know?
Right.
It's horrible to say, but everybody is a manager. What's great about ADHD
kids... I just posted about
19
amazing celebrities, and they're not just actors.
No.
It was like the founder of JetBlue. It was Justin
Branson,
Timberlake. It was just amazing, amazing people
creative
who are CEOs, creative.
Entrepreneurs.
Yep.
People that
so
also are
hone in on that,
in a
because
skill.
That's
yeah.
going to be what takes your child
right.
far in life.
So I just want to say, like, if they love teaching, right? If they love animals, if they love acting, if they love dance, if they love, they will over and over again. A lot of times, kids with ADHD too can be hyper focused about one thing. So, like, for myself, I loved acting and I loved writing, and I was always the kid that was putting on plays and inviting everybody in the neighborhood, writing them and acting them, and everybody was involved. And I have tons of friends. So, to be honest, I know my teachers loved me. Many of them were so good to me. Mm-hmm. It was easier for me when I got fired from being door holder for talking, or when I got removed in the class and had to sit on the side, or when I couldn't go to the skating party because I got kicked out of Brownies, right? That was hard. But you know what? You only learn by failing.
Right,
and
which
I think
children
this is important
have to
for
fail.
Every parent to hear, but I really want us to come home to parents with who have kids with ADHD. Those kids know that they're failing at a lot of things, and you guys need to focus on the things that they're doing really well.
Yeah, that is
and
so true.
And all you do is focus on the stuff that they're not doing well. You know, it's like, so what? They go to school with their hair isn't brushed and their sweaters on backwards. Did you notice that they, like, completely, like, were into their book for 4 hours last night, and that they made everyone at the table laugh during dinner, and that they're a good friend? Like, those
and we want to be
really
able
important.
To have other people view them for their positives, too, because they're
it's
going to feel good
made
about
my practice
themselves
work.
For that.
I mean, you know, it's certainly, I've certainly been very successful, and I was someone that was really successful in college and in my graduate school programs, right? Like, I graduated with really top marks. But you know what?
Because as you got older, you
figured
out what worked for you, and you just had your own system.
Yes, and I also learned from an early age, I'm better working for myself.
Right.
Because I can work, I'm someone that can work for like 10 hours straight at something, and then I need 2 days off, and then I can come back to it. But I will say, like, you know, the more you can help them really get internships, enjoy what they can do well. Because as I said to you too, and I think this is helpful for parents, one thing that's helped me with the meds so much is it's interesting. I'll take the medication, and it definitely, like, if I have a day that in which I really need to be super, super organized, the meds definitely help me, right? With time management, planning, and organization, definitely. But if there are days where I'm thinking about creative stuff in terms of my practice or new projects I'm going to start, I don't always take the meds because I'm more creative. Those are some of the times when my best ideas come out. So I feel like it's kind of a gift because I have I can access these two worlds. And I think it would be nice for your kids, even if you don't want to try medication, for them to understand, okay, you do have to be accountable to your ADHD. You can't just be a slacker here. You have to be accountable to it, right? You have to be. But
absolutely.
You have to also see, like, all these gifts that come from it too, because if they don't see the gifts, that motivation, that intrinsic motivation will be destroyed, guys. And it's sort of like, what's the point then, right?
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, there are always, out of a negative comes a positive, and it's not that there's no reason that these children can't be overly successful in socialization and being with friends and being, like you said, being the funny one. You know, I think that parents definitely need to be able to teach children how to make and keep friends and hone in on interpersonal skills, because I think that that can be tough for kids who have ADHD, but I also think it's a learning process.
They can also
process.
Make a lot of friends. They can also be too social, right?
Right,
I mean,
or
we get
like
stereotypical
negative,
with it.
Right,
I mean,
negative attention and things like that come along with it.
Right.
I think, as you know, like, you know, being the funny one, sometimes they love because everyone thinks it's funny. And there's,
absolutely.
I think it's for parents or teachers to be able to say, you are so funny. It is great, but there's a time and a place.
Right.
And I think that kids just sort of, like, as they grow up, as I'm sure you know, you just grow into yourself and you are able to learn from failures. Like, you know, I was trying to be funny yesterday and the teacher just didn't think it was funny, and my friends who were trying to learn didn't think it's funny. And you know what? Tomorrow, I'm not going to do that.
I just think the kids, like, exactly, they need the skills, but really and truly, Stephanie, like, the message we get in our society today is that you are what you produce. And it's I think kids with ADHD are extremely vulnerable to this, because the truth is we're not operating like, you know, the neurotic woman that's like totally got a million problems herself demands that we work a 25-hour day. It's ridiculous. And we all need to remember that we are more than we produce, right? And that it's, I think kids with ADHD really need to hear how valued they are, not just by speaking it, like, you're great, you're wonderful, you're fantastic. Like, kids know if their parents are telling them, you're great, you're wonderful, you're fantastic.
They can see it.
But they can see if you don't really mean it, and they need to actually experience it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
stupid to say you're great when they don't feel great. They need to actually get out there and, I don't know, start like, oh, it sounds silly, but like start your own nonprofit as a kid or write plays and scripts like I did. Find something they like to do and really encourage them at that, because
right.
that will help them feel like, hey, like, yeah, maybe I can't produce as much as everybody else. I don't work as fast. But
right.
like really, what does that mean? Like, look
or
what
just
I can
because
do here.
I'm not the best listener with my hand up and the answer right for everything. You know what? But I'm good at this, and I think parents need to be able to remind children, you know what? You may not be the one coming home with the hundreds on every single test, but, you know, if you're getting an 85 and you're trying your best, and here's what you are amazing at. Because, you know, middle of the road, children sometimes just always feel middle of the road. We are able to tell our children, this is what you are great at, and this is what you're going to succeed the most at. And if it means that they're going to feel so good about themselves, because every day after school at 7 o'clock, they're going to their art class or their dance class or their basketball, and that's where they're shining, mm-hmm. then, you know, that's where parents need to be able to say to children, this is what you need to feel most self-pride in, this is it.
And the truth is the parents, It's interesting, they won't even have to say that much because the kids will just feel it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The kids will just naturally gravitate towards what they keep doing well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And building upon that and building upon that and building upon it. But I think that's the issue, too, is that there's a lot of insight needed for kids in general in this area. And parents need to really expand their view of work and what your kid can do later in life, because most of the people I know that had ADHD went down some really cool paths. And I don't, you know, okay, like, and in all honesty, I mean this sincerely, if I had gone to get an MBA, or if I'd gone on to become like a money manager at a hedge fund, or if I'd gone on to, I don't like, manage 50 people, like, you'd all be broke. You know what I mean? Business would not be going
right.
anywhere.
Because it's,
but I went into what you don't have
to follow a cookie cutter path, and parents, even if you know, you had a parent that had ADHD.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they were
and a grandfather that had it, and he was an orthopedic surgeon. He was very successful at what he did.
So, you know, you can be this out-of-the-box thinker and not have ADHD and say to yourself, I need to hone in on what is going to be best for my child, even if it isn't me, even
right.
if it isn't that cookie cutter exactly, you know, plan that you had for your child, how you wished that it would be, but to really, like you said, look for that creative side, like down the road, and say, better start now, because we want them to feel good about themselves, and you want their peers to look at them in a positive way.
Absolutely, because I will tell you, in all honesty, like when I look back on my teen years, I mean, my best friend, it's funny, she's married to a man with ADHD today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she manages him. I mean, that's
right.
what she does. And when we were in high school together, and she's an editor, like she used to edit my papers.
Did she organize you?
Help me organize, right? But you know what?
She was
your
assistant.
I gave her tons of ideas.
Right.
And I gave her so many creative, you know, we worked really well together. And I will say this to you honestly, it's been so much fun for me in my 30s and, you know, now being 40, asking her to look at something, and she's like, you know what, Steph, it doesn't need any work. You're,
right.
you're doing, this is
because
fine.
Because you came into yourself.
I learned some skills, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say that those skills were tough for me. They were developing areas. But I don't think I would have been open to having people help me if I didn't have something to give back, if I wasn't, right? So it's not like,
yep.
I just feel like everyone's like, oh, pity the ADHD child. Honestly, like, pity the child that, like, thinks they're perfect.
Right.
I mean, that's the sad kid, because that's the kid
yeah.
that's in their 20s, 30s that the minute something happens where they fail, they get fired from that job, they don't do this.
They freak out.
Their marriage comes into on the rocks. They can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing is, guys, if you have a kid with ADHD, your kid will be able to handle it.
Yeah.
It is such a good way to look at it. Right? You have to think long-term-wise about some of that stuff.
It definitely...
Because I can tell you, in my own family, I had a lot of hard times with my family members, especially my extended family, and it was hard to be around me. But now, we have such a good relationship, and they love me, and I'm the person they call for so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting,
because,
right,
like you said, that there's so many of these people who have ADHD and family members, and I have them in my family as well, who they do have that kind, good-hearted way about them that is so, you know, maybe it's just in them from the beginning, and it just blooms as they get older.
Absolutely. And
you're able to see it better.
Too. It doesn't, ADHD doesn't have anything to do with IQ. People realize that, right? So that's not, it's not like, oh, I have ADHD, oh, my son doesn't have, or my daughter may not have a high IQ. That's not true. You know, there's so many things to look at. Like your son, Stephanie, I mean, I could see him going on to do so much in the music world.
Oh, I can too. And we, I mean, you know, we have to.
I can just see it, you know?
And look, we're a family that thinks that those kinds of things are amazing.
And they are.
Creative. And we, you know, I hope to be able to inspire more parents.
But I
want to
say one thing. What if you're a parent that doesn't think that's amazing? What I want you to understand is what's amazing is this unique gift you've been given, your kid. Has these precious things. They can do things that you maybe could never do. Maybe you're great at organizing, but maybe they're going to be like a future rock star producer type. Be open to it. Let them explore what they're good at.
I love it. I think that's a really good way to end for today because we're ending on a positive.
Yeah.
I mean, the two of us could talk about this.
It's one of the best things that ever happened to me, my ADHD. It's also taught me a lot, you know what I mean? Like,
I agree. I love it. I think, you know how both of us are, but being so creative and thinking along those lines. I mean, I totally agree with it. And
I'm
sure.
It was nurtured in both of us, Stephanie, you know?
Absolutely.
And,
and that's just, you're born a certain way and you have to make the most of it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure that everyone listening is very, very grateful right now because I know that they're relating to you as a professional and on a personal level too. Because
well, it's a pleasure.
I think it's important. And as I remind parents all the time, you have to advocate for your child best and make them feel that they are the best that they can be. So let's remind parents that for tonight, we're wrapping up and saying we want to make sure that you form great relationships with your children's teachers and your school. Check your ego at the door. I love it. And we're reminding them.
It's hard, but do it anyway.
You have to. It's so beneficial to be on the same page when it comes to your child's education. And we have to do what we have to do as parents, right?
Yeah.
And I also want parents to remember that it's so important that you have a good relationship with your child and your tween and your teenager. These years, they're not easy for parents whose children don't have ADHD. So you are going to have to work extra hard and not get as frustrated and just try the best that you can.
And model calm.
I love it.
As much as you can. And if you're not a parent that can model calm, work at it, you know, and maybe have somebody help you.
And every home is different, so you have to find a system that works for you. And importantly, I don't want these children to feel punished all the time.
Oh, my goodness,
and I don't want parents
to
feel that
right?
they're punishing all the time.
But you also know if you lose it on your kid every now and then, that's totally normal. Parents aren't supposed to be perfect.
Yeah,
please,
no,
you're going to mess up, guys, you know?
Absolutely.
But what's nice is, and I can tell you this honestly, the best thing my dad ever did for me as a kid was when he was wrong, he would say, hey, Steph, I'm really sorry.
Absolutely.
Right? It's nice. Well, so don't feel like you have to be perfect, guys.
No, absolutely. I want children to know that you believe in them, and I'm sure every parent wants to know that their children know that you believe in them. Encourage their creativity.
Yeah.
Encourage it, because their creativity is what's going to pay off in the long run. So, again, thank you so much,
Stephanie Weldon,
for speaking with us tonight. If you have any questions, Steph, what's your email?
It's Stephanie Weldon, so it's StephanieWeldon1 @gmail.com.
Great. And if you want to tweet me, I spell it the opposite way, which is @AskStephanieWeldon. Stephanie, A-S-K-S-T-E-F-A-N-I-E. For any questions on this topic, please follow me on Facebook at Ask Stephanie, as well as check out thecoffeeclatch.com and on Twitter and Facebook as well. They're always posting amazing articles every day. And all this information is just so valuable for parents. So I hope that you take away tonight being very positive for your children. This is a gift.
Feel encouraged, guys. Good luck. Feel encouraged.
And hone in on this gift, because children can and should be successful in school and in their social life.
And by the way, not just successful, but really successful. They don't have to, you know what I mean?
They can be stars. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Steph.
Thanks, Steph.